So, if you have your Bible, would you join me in the book of Genesis? To begin Genesis chapter 2, and then we'll go into the New Testament book of Ephesians. Genesis chapter 2. And just so you know, we're continuing in a series of messages I've been in, going through this devotional called Walk in Newness of Life. So today, day 18, so we're winding down, getting down to just the last few days. Then on Wednesdays, we go into a little more detail, and I love hearing your input. So Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 21. The Bible says this, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam. And he slept, and he, the Lord God, took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man." This basically like the first giving of the bride, God's design and blessing on marriage. And then these verses, these words, basically are a foundation for marriage. As according to God's design, it says in verse 23, "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Verse 24, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Now, would you turn over to the New Testament book of Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Just while you're turning, just to fill in a little gaps here, that scripture was quoted by Jesus when he was asked about divorce. And that's found in a couple places in the New Testament. And Jesus took them back because there was an argument. Some actually taught, I'm not making this up, some rabbis taught, if your wife burnt your food, you could divorce her. So when they asked Jesus about, like, you want to get into the bait of, is it easy or is it harder? He just took them right back to the start. And he said, at the beginning, he created male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Then over in Ephesians chapter 5, the New Testament reveals to us that marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. And we read these words in verse 30, Ephesians 5, verse 30. "For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery." The mystery, when it says that in the New Testament, basically what it means is there was something that God had more or less given in pictures and ideas and so forth in the Old Testament, and it was fulfilled in the New Testament with Jesus. So the mystery has now been revealed, and it's no longer a mystery. So he tells us, "But I speak concerning Christ and the church." Let me read that verse from the Passion Translation. Just, you can just listen, okay? And then I'll read verse 33. It says, "Marriage is the beautiful design of the Almighty. Marriage is the beautiful design of the Almighty, a great mystery of Christ and his church." Then verse 33, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Here is the title of the message today, based on that scripture: love and respect draw us together. Love and respect draw us together. Would you please say that with me? Love and respect draw us together. Now, when it talks about Christ and the church, remember what God did when he made Adam sleep? It says he took a rib somewhere, like maybe a curved section of his side, and formed his bride. Do you remember when Jesus died on the cross that a soldier had a spear? Do you remember what he did with that spear? He shoved it up into his side, and out came blood and water. And that was like the bride price he paid to show, I want you that much. I want you to know me. I want to be in covenant with you. And this is the price I'm willing to give to bring that out. So some even make an analogy of he didn't take Eve or form Eve from Adam's skull that she would be over him, or his feet that she would be under him, but his side that they would be together, close to heart, equal, distinct, but equal. And love and respect draw us together. And I want to mention this. Of course, there is an application for us who are, those of us who are married. But love and respect draw us together, I believe, in potentially in every relationship. In, well, maybe we could turn it around and do the opposite. Disrespect and self-pleasing or self-focus drives us apart. So drives us apart or draws us together. And I'll give an example of this because I want to say to everyone who is single, and it doesn't matter whether you're separated, divorced, single by death, or whatever it may be, joining online and here in person. I don't care about your marital status per se. You are loved, you are valued, and you are wanted here. That was a good place. Y'all could have said amen for all singles, but y'all don't be scared. Marriage is a blessing, but singleness, even the Bible teaches, has some advantages in just the freedoms that we have. And I'll give an example. Remember the situation our country was in back when George Floyd was killed? There was a lot of tension and even violence in some cases. And for those, if you're listening, if you've never seen me, I'm a white man. And I reached out to Brother Smitty and Mr. Torres and Pastor Gibson, and I set up a few weeks of Zoom meetings because I don't know what it is to grow up as a black child here in America or maybe come from another country, but I wanted to know. And I didn't want this to come between us. And so we met together during these weeks, and I don't know if he would remember this or not, but as we got toward the end of this, the time together, I thanked them because we were able to talk about some uncomfortable topics in a way that was helpful. But Mr. Torres said, that's because we love and respect each other. And so do you see how those virtues, Christian virtues, can apply to all of our relationships to some degree or another? Would you look back at verse 1 of chapter 5? Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Last week, I shared a message on blessed are the peacemakers, and based on Jesus' words in Matthew 5:9, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God or children of God. And I ask if maybe some of you would be willing to focus on Philippians 2:4 with me. And I did 4 and 5, but it just talks about how let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who is our example. And this verse too, maybe you would consider just focusing on this verse this week, getting it into our hearts and minds and into our lives, ultimately live it out, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Even if you did that part, but then I'll go on an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. The only way that we can genuinely walk in love as Christ did is, now I believe there's love and respect we can show to people on a human level. But God calls us to a divine level. He says, walk in love as Christ also has loved us. And the only way we can do that is to be submitted to and empowered by God's Holy Spirit. Submitted to and empowered by God's Holy Spirit. That's why if you drop down to verse 18, it says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled or be continually filled is what that actually how it's worded. Don't get drunk because that'll just wear off and it leads you to wild living. But be continually filled with the Spirit. Now, if someone's under the influence of alcohol, it affects our words and our ways. Is that right? Speech may become a little slurred, may get a little bold, may get a little lovey-dovey with everyone. It affects how they walk. And when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, controlled by Him, it shows in our words and ways. Same. So a continual lifestyle. And so that's why he says in that very next verse, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So one way we maintain a Spirit-filled, Spirit-controlled lifestyle is worship, by singing from our heart to the Lord. And verse 20, giving thanks for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of God, or out of our reverence for the Lord. So love and respect draw us together. So whatever your status may be, let's think about how we can live this out, that we can love and be respectful to others in a way that draws us closer together. Let me read you something right here, because I am gonna center on for the married couples here just a little bit. I am no marriage expert, but I quoted someone who is. I mean, human level. And this brother, his name is Edrich. And let me get the page number here. He says, this is he and his wife, they've kind of built their ministry, or at least part of it, on this of love and respecting one another. And this is what he says. He says, unconditional respect is as powerful for him as unconditional love is for her. It's the secret of marriage, or to marriage, that every couple seeks. Let me read that again. Unconditional respect is as powerful for him as unconditional love is for her. It's the secret to marriage that every couple seeks. So unconditional love, unconditional respect. And he goes into wives, ladies, bear with me just a moment. He's gonna quote a few verses, or he wrote a few verses to the ladies first, then to us who are men. And I would just say that wherever, maybe if you're married, think about how you can apply this to your life, maybe one area where you say, this is something I need to do here with God's grace and help. If you're single, you could say, this might be something I'm gonna work on to help me be the wife or the husband that God would have me to be. And this is something I wanna be aware of before I say I do, because I wanna make sure my spouse has some of these qualities and virtues to love and respect. So he says in verse 22, again, I wanna emphasize this, male, female, husbands, wives are equal in value, but we do have different roles in marriage. There is a distinction between us. So verse 22, of Ephesians chapter 5, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, not to men in general. This is husband and wife, all right? To your own husband as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Let me pause there a minute. Christ is head of the church, and the Bible says that the Father is head of the Son. Are they both equal, God the Father and God the Son? Do they love each other? Yes. Absolutely. Jesus willingly took that position of saying, I'm gonna submit to the Father's will, even going to the cross, because of our relationship with each other, and because I love them, and because you love them, Father, and because of what you did for them, I'll do it, but I'm gonna ask, will you include them in my inheritance so that we can share in that together forever? So that is the example. So again, husband, head of the wife, does not mean, brothers, that we're always right or we are the boss. I know y'all scared for that. Kim isn't. But that's true. But then he says in verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So there is a submission to her husband in a way that honors the Lord. That's important. in a way that honors the Lord. So then a wife can show unconditional respect for her husband by honoring him above others and encouraging him in doing what is right and following his leadership and even trying to bless him to lead their marriage and to lead their family in the right way, supporting him, again, submitting to him in a way that honors the Lord. It's not women under men in general. That's important. And I won't go into all this right now for sake of time, but on Wednesday, I would like to show you a few verses in 1 Peter 3 that are also related to husbands and wives. And that scripture in 1 Peter 3, I want to encourage all the wives in here, ladies, you can be a godly influence in your home, even if your husband is not a believer. So just, that's why I say it's so important. Don't sell the Holy Spirit short. Submit it to him and empowered by his Spirit. And if we are married to a spouse who's not yet a Christian, all we can do is our part, but let's do our part, let's pray. And then we'll trust God with the results and the timing, all right? Now we move to the men, or the husbands rather. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might, and this is what Jesus did for us, okay, these next couple of verses, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, sorry, glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that we should be holy and without blemish. That's what Jesus did for us. He sanctifies us. That means he sets us apart for the Father, and he washes us first from our sins in his blood, and then his word has a cleansing effect if we will wash in it and if we will use it. Someone said, you know, we relate it to like bathing or to eating. And someone say, well, I can't seem to memorize a verse. Well, just keep eating. You still need to eat. And whether you let it get into you, that's the thing, let it get in. And the washing is, oh, I'm just gonna get dirty again. Well, you might fall again, but keep washing. Stay in close fellowship, and the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. That's why it's a close walk. It's so important. We need a close walk with the Lord, close fellowship with him, because everything in the Christian life, that's why I took the first few days in the devotional, really a couple weeks, to emphasize that. Coming into genuine salvation, I know I'm born again by God's Spirit. Then developing disciplines that help us get to know the Lord better, grow closer to him, and grow more like him, because we need that. I can't love Kim as Christ loved the church unless he helps me. She can't submit to me like the church is supposed to do to Christ unless the Lord helps her, but he will help us both. And if we get this going in the right direction, love and respect do what? Draw us together in every relationship. So he goes on, he says this in verse 28. So husbands ought to love their own wives, again, their own wife, as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. So a husband shows unconditional love for his wife by prioritizing her as his own body. And just as our bodies have needs, I got to prioritize her that way. And again, it goes on in other scriptures, and I'll show you that a husband's not to be harsh with his wife, but we're to nourish and cherish. The word nourish actually means to feed, that we can actually build them up and nourish. And the Bible says if we do not, husbands, if we do not treat our wives as heirs together of grace of life, our prayers will be hindered. So do you see how we both have a part and we pull together in this? And then he says, and I'm gonna go back to verse 30 now, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his, you know what? Would you read this verse out loud with me? I don't know, you might be on different translations, but can we read this verse out loud, and we'll be on the same translation. I'm reading from the New King James, if you would follow on the screen. Verse 31, let's read it together, ready? For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So marriage in the Bible is a covenant. And again, maybe on Wednesday evening, I'll take a moment. I wanna show how the devil attacks covenants, God's covenants. Because remember what Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot what? Cannot stand. So he's always going to try to sow discord and division, not only in our house, but in God's house. So, but love and respect draw us together. So again, this scripture says we are members of his body. A man leaves his father and mother, so there's a new priority. My priority now is not whatever. Now it's our marriage. We are formed, we have a new family, and we are the priority. Doesn't mean we don't have others, but we become a new priority. And then he says, be joined to his wife. How many of us who are married can relate to this? Sometimes, just over time, you start kind of drifting apart a little bit, not even in a mean way, and you have to have those regular times to, let's go take a ferry ride to Williamsburg and look for shoes. That was when... They were for me, actually. So, but having those times where we can come back together and continually, but we did. I enjoyed it. And I wore a suit. I didn't get any shoes, but I bought a suit and wore it last week. So having opportunities where we can find, you know, have a little time together and reconnect and rebond, because there's always a need for that. So not be joined together is not just a one-time event at a wedding. It's continual. And then so the two shall become one flesh. And marriage is a special relationship, because in the covenant of marriage, we're to give ourselves to one another exclusively in love, which unites us then in spirit, soul, and body. That's why it says when he created them, sex is not bad. Immorality takes sex out of the God-ordained place, like fire in a fireplace. In its proper place, it can provide warmth and blessing, but out of its proper place, it can be hurtful and destructive. So it's not, sex is not sin. God thought of it, okay? Immorality is sin. And I know I've heard years ago of a younger lady. She was single. She went to one of the mothers in the church. Y'all know what I mean when I say that, a church. You know, a church has spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers in the family. And she went to an older, wiser, godly church mother who was also single. And she said, "Mother, how old do you have to be before you stop desiring a man?" And the wiser, older church mother said, "Child, you're going to have to ask somebody older than me." So, we're to protect the purity of our marriages, and God wants us to, and that's where it's a blessing. And thank God, if they will, I haven't always done that. Thank God there are new beginnings. And now by God's grace, we learn and grow and build love and respect. And then if God ordains, have a blessed marriage. Not a perfect one, but a blessed one, a growing, God-honoring marriage. Because strong marriages are vital to just the life and health of a church. First of all, of a family. And then of a church and a community. It's God's design and what he ordained. And so being close in any relationship brings us joy, but it also gives us occasion to be hurt, because we're close and vulnerable. And when we're hurt, we can lash out in anger, or we can pull away in anger. And at times that means that I need to ask forgiveness. At times that means I need to give forgiveness so we can be close. Would you look at Ephesians 2, and this is the last scripture, Ephesians chapter 2. Love and respect draw us together. I'll just mention this while you're turning back. I'm not asking anyone to say anything out loud or any indication, but if you've been through the heartbreak of a breakup, I just like to encourage you, would you just focus on your walk with the Lord? He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, and just focus on him and allow him, give time to heal, so that if God does bring you into another relationship and that's in your heart to pursue, you're bringing a, a person who's been healed, at least to a large degree, and have a healthy relationship and not bring that past into it in a way that would be harmful. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." He's speaking to two entire people groups, Jew and Gentile. For those who are not Israeli descendants, we're Gentile. Jew and Gentile, verse 14, "For he himself is our peace, who has made both" what? "Both one." He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Thank God. Having abolished in his flesh, he took it in his body on the cross, the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He took all the laws that we had broken. He suffered the judgment and wrath against those sins. And then it says, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And then verse 16, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body. And notice how he did it, through the cross. So he put to death the enmity. If God can take two entire people groups and bring down the middle wall of partition between us because of what he did at the cross and make us one so there is peace, can he also take two friends, church members, neighbors, coworkers, husband and wife who have a wall in between, and by the power of the cross, reconcile us first to himself and then to one another? Can he do it? Thank God he can. I want to show you this real quick and I'm done. If you're listening, I have a couple of 1x4s. I said earlier, you know, we all bring experiences of our past, good or bad, I will hold it, into our relationships. That's why it's so important that we have a growing walk with the Lord, because the more I grow in Christ's likeness, the better friend I'll be, the better spouse I'll be, the better future spouse I will be, if that's in your heart. But it all comes back to him, always walking with him. And again, if we don't, we're all human and we have those potential issues, but let's say I do something and or someone else does something to me and I'm offended. I can put this like it's an offense. You disrespected me. I get more respect at work. You don't pay attention to me. Other men pay attention to me. And the offense can become a fence and a wall between us. So now what? He himself is our peace. He has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, taking the two and bringing them together in one by the power of the cross. What if we would be willing to lay down the offense and the fence and instead bring it to Jesus and the power of the cross and his love and respect draw us together in one? Now, I want to close with this. I found a devotional from at least a year ago, because it's dated May. It didn't say the year. And it talks about how dealing with relationship issues. And when there's a disagreement, there's a way to go about it. Now, I'll use us as an example. I don't know if Kim would remember this or not. Friday morning, I went outside early with a cup of coffee. It was pretty, and I just walked around the yard. And then I came back in. I think she was on the phone, so I just went on a walk. I didn't think anything of it. So when I came back, do you remember? You don't remember? I'll remind you. No, I know, it's a busy week, I know. But you told me, I wish you would tell me when you go on a walk. You remember? I wish you would tell me when you go on a walk. Now, she could have come in and just said, you never do anything, you know, and then I can't do anything about the past. So then that takes any kind of encouragement or even trying off the table because I've lost. But she said, I wish you would let me know. Now I have a choice. I'm either going to, well, you know what? I need to let her know. And I could be foolish and say, if she don't see me, she knows where I am. The car's here. Well, what good is that? Is that honoring? I mean, is that showing Christ-like love, sacrificial love? And so now it's up to me to do that. But as I do, what did the Lord say in Amos 3:3? How can two walk together unless they're agreed? So now we come into agreement, and there's power in agreement. And again, that can happen in any of our relationships because love and respect draw us together. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? And let's just take a moment and think maybe where can I apply this? I'm a single person or I'm a young person and I do want to get married one day, but what is one way I can show maybe love and respect in a relationship, somebody I'm close to, whether it's parent, son, daughter, however it may be? And then I want to ask you just think about it. And then I would like to ask you right now if you can think, well, I can show more love this way. I can show more respect. And whatever it is between you and the Lord, would you ask him to just help you by the power of his spirit to live it out? Lord, by your spirit, I ask, Lord, that you would just bring healing now to those who have been hurt. May you bring release and freedom to those who are just feeling condemned. There is no one here or listening in your eyes who is a failure. A relationship may have ended, but they're not a failure. We're not a failure. We're valued by you. We do ask you, though, to help us, give us the power to live it out. I pray that you would draw us to a closer walk with you, and we'd be honest enough to say, Lord, I've been hurt here, and allow you, the great physician, to bring the balm of Gilead and make us whole and make us well so that we can have healthy and godly relationships at whatever level it may be.